Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come together. And Father, to be able to hear this music and to be able to realize that the cost of our sin and what Jesus went through for us, we'll never know. But we just want to come before you and show you how much we love you. By being here today, it's our visible representation that, God, we want to give everything that we have back to you. And show us today. Open our hearts, open our minds to be able to hear your words, to be able to hear you speak to us today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, again, the worship music was just awesome. I mean, they just did a great, great job. And, you know, when listening to that verse of the week from Jamie Prine, I will guide you along the best pathways of your life. I will advise you and watch over you. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty loving God. That's a pretty amazing proclamation that the Father in heaven is offering us each and every day to advise us, to watch over us, to guide us along the best pathways. And to be able to know these best pathways is that we have to be able to hear the Lord speak to us. And last week we started a series in talking about hearing the voice of God. And one of the greatest truths for all Christians is this, is that we have to understand that God is still speaking to us each and every single day. Every single day, God is actually speaking to us. Now, you may not hear this audible voice. You may not hear even the small, quiet voice. And there's reasons why that could be. And in the Bible, it talks about ways that many people have heard God's voice speak to them. And we're going to talk through some of them. And last week, if you were not here, I encourage you to go back and hear the first part of the series when God had a conversation with Moses on the mountain, and this bush was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed, and what actually God needed to tell Moses at that time. And all throughout the Bible, as I said, the Bible will say, and God says, or declares the Lord. That means that when you open your Bible, and if you have a Bible, especially a good study Bible, and it's mentioned, and you see red in there, who's speaking? Jesus. God is speaking. And from Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation, you will find in some way the name of who? Jesus. He's all the way from the Alpha to the Omega, from Genesis to Revelation. He is mentioned throughout this. And so there is a reason why. It's because the one person that we need to hear from more than anybody else is the name of Jesus. Now, when we go and we look at this whole idea of this amazing relationship with God, this relationship means that we must talk to Him, and He must also talk back to us. So if it's a one-sided relationship, it's probably not a very good relationship. Would you agree with that? So if we know without a doubt that God is speaking to us every single day, then, and if we're not speaking to Him, if we're not talking to Him, if we're not praying to Him, then it's a one-sided relationship. We realize that the relationship is not going well. But what if we're praying to Him and then we say, well, He's just not hearing my prayers? Well, that's an impossibility, because we have the God of the universe that loves us, that we sing about, that died for us, so that we can have this personal relationship with Him, that He will, and He says that He does hear our prayers. And that could be the sermon right there. Knowing that a loving God wants to be able to do that, to talk to us. He wants to advise us. He wants us to know the path that we're supposed to walk. And He wants to make sure that we understand. One of the reasons why we're here at church, and the reason why we go to Sunday school, and the reason why we have Equipping the Saints, and the reason why you're being used in so many different ways and vessels in our children and from our youth, is that if we're not teaching the Word of God be able to hear and truly understand the Word of God, then obviously the communication and the relationship can really become stagnant. And we don't want that to happen. And so it's not just about coming here, but it's also leaving here after 2 hours and say, what are you going to do for the rest of your time with the Lord? It's all about that. It's all about what you're doing, not just here. He loves that you're here. He loves the fact that you desire to want to know and listen and to understand. But he also wants you to do that also in the confines of your own home, in the confines of your own time. There's so much other time that you can spend with the Lord. Now, in my relationship with my wife, with Jamie, when we talk to each other, I'll be honest with you, I may not really truly be listening. There are times in my conversation with her that I'm looking at her, but sometimes I'm like in the corner of my eye, I'm still looking at that other thing, or there's times that I'm thinking about other things. And she goes, well, what do you think about that? And I'm like, about what, you know? And then there's times that I really am trying to listen, but I just don't understand what she's saying. And vice versa. And so to be able to have a good, healthy relationship with anyone, whether it's your spouse, whether it's with your children, whether it's with your good friends, the key to every great relationship is that we must be tuning in to exactly what they're saying, genuinely listening to what they're saying, and making sure that you understand what they're saying. Okay? There has never been a time, though, that I have gone to my wife and she doesn't know who I am. Never. She's never looked at me from the time that I first met her, and she's like, who are you? Now, she might have in a sarcastic way of like, who are you? Seriously, are you crazy? You know? But she's never like looked at me and like, who are you? And I've called on the phone many, many times. We call and we talk to each other on the phone, and she's never gotten a phone call where she's like, who is this? She knows. It's me. Why? Because she knows my voice. She knows who I am. There's never been a time when she calls, and I'm not calling, saying this because of caller ID, okay? Now, that sometimes may help me. There are times when my son or my daughter calls me, which is kind of weird, and I'm like, who is this? And they're like, it's Cammy. Oh. Pierce? Never mind. I could go a different way. But there's times I get them mixed up. But we know each other's voice. You know your spouse's voice, don't you? You know your kid's voice, don't you? Man, you could be in a park and all things are going crazy, but you hear that one scream, you hear that one cry, you hear that one, Mommy! You know it's your kid. You're in tune with that. And you know what? I love what the Bible says about that. And Jesus put it this way. My sheep listen to my voice. My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's a two-way relationship. The sheep know their shepherd's voice, but if you're not a part of the flock, if you've never been around your shepherd, then even in real life, if you have all these brand new sheep, you know what they do? They all actually begin to follow the rest of the flock and do exactly what they do. As much as they are dumb animals, they're actually pretty smart because they do know this. I'll follow everybody else. Even if it's off a ledge, I'm going where they go. So if my shepherd says I need to go this way and everybody else is going this way and they're listening to the voice and it's going this way and going through this path and it's doing this or doing whatever, then guess what? That one that has never heard the voice is going to do one of two things. It's going to either follow the flock of where everybody else is going, or it's going to go what? Astray. And I want you to know that even if 99 go the right way, who goes and follows? Who goes after the one? And, you know, I am so grateful for that, because I'll tell you, in 1989, I was the one that I think was going astray, and it was in 1989 that Jesus says, hold on a sec, guys, you guys are doing a really good job. I need to go get this guy. And I'm so grateful. And you know why? It's because I had no idea what his voice was. I never heard his voice. I never heard that this guy, this man, this God wanted to speak to me and talk to me and change my life. Church family, does God hear and know your voice on a daily basis? Are you talking to him? And if so, do you recognize his voice when he's speaking to you? If Jesus walked into this room, and I've said this before, there'd be no doubt in my mind that you would have a lot of questions, and we would all be first. Hey, you want to come eat with me? You know, I got the roast in the oven. It's already ready to go. You come with me. And you know what? Everybody else would be like so jealous. They'd be like, no, you got to be. Jamie Prine got to sit and hang out with Jesus. The news would be there. Everybody would be flocking on your street. Everybody on social media. Jamie Prime would be the most popular person in the whole entire world. Why? Because he got to read the verse of the week. And Jesus said, you did such a great job. Way to go. You're going to eat lunch with me and talk to me. Y'all know where I'm going with this, right? We get to do this every day. But the world doesn't make it a big deal. And unfortunately, sometimes we don't either. Just because he's visibly not right here doesn't mean he's not right here. He is still speaking. He's still in the presence. He went and ascended into heaven, and he is in your heart if you have invited him in your life. The Holy Spirit, that same God, the same Jesus that was walking with them 2,000 years ago is still today walking with us and in our life. And we should be so excited to sup with him and to be able to be with him each and every day, and knowing that we get to talk to the creator of the universe. It's the most amazing thing that we could ever do, and we would feel so blessed, and we are blessed. Now, how do we hear God speak in this world? And as believers, and I want to be able to spend a few weeks as we go through this series really understanding, because it's absolutely essential. If you're going to have a relationship with God, if you're going to have a relationship with Christ, if you are saying that I am in Christ, that I am crucified in Christ, and it's I who no longer live, but Christ that lives in me. If you're going to say that I was an old Christian, but here I am, I'm a brand new Christian. My old life has passed, and now I have this new life in Christ. If you've owned that, if you said, I am little Christ, Christian, then we have to understand that we have the greatest news that we could ever imagine. It's got to be so exciting for us. And we got to live that way each and every day. If you'll take your Bibles and go ahead to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke in the New Testament, and turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 4. I want to be able to read a powerful parable, a powerful story, a powerful illustration that Jesus Christ discussed with just some normal people, just like me and you. These were just normal, everyday people. And talking about everyday normal things like farming. Now, back in 2,000 years ago, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, people have always been farming. People, that was their livelihood. Agriculture was the main way that they made their living. If it wasn't catching fish or doing some type of crafts, it was just being able to survive each day. And they would either, the rich people would own lots of land and have peasants working for them and slaves, or they would have smaller lands and they would be growing their own cabbage and onions and leeks and turnips. The Romans would be growing grapes and olives. The poor would basically be eating wheat and barley. The wealthy would be eating all of that stuff, including all the great meat and vegetables, and filling up on beautiful, just delicacies of stuff. And they would there and recline at the table and eat wonderful things. So he was talking to people that they would be able to understand, and it was about farming. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 4, he gives this illustration to be able to relate. And here we go. One day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. Isn't that great? All these people are coming to want to be able to hear who he is. And then, at this time, a farmer went out to plant the seed, and as he scattered across the field, some seed fell onto the footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. And that day, they didn't have a John Deere tractor. They didn't have this big old tractor that Jan gets to drive around in all the time to do all her field work and stuff like that, to be able to plant their seeds. Nor did they go and they plant even in the small places, but imagine the big places. They didn't even have places where they would just put little seeds in one hole at a time, because you can imagine how long that would take. They did not do that as well. So what they would do is that they would go, these farmers would get a basket, and they would get all their peasants or the people that own the land, they would gather their baskets, they would put all the seeds into this basket, and they would begin to just throw it all over the field. They would just throw it all over. And this was actually where they get the word broadcasting. They would broadcast the seeds. So in today's language, where we get the word idea of broadcasting on national TV, this is where they actually came up with that. Broadcasting, going out everywhere, all over the place. So this is what Jesus was talking about. This is for pastors. This is for missionaries. This is for evangelists. This is for teachers. This is for you in the business world, okay? It's not the job of only your staff members. It's all of our jobs. You know why? Because Jesus says there's something called the Great Commission. It's a responsibility on all of our parts to broadcast, to fill up the Word of God and be able to cast our seeds, to broadcast our seeds all over the fields of life, wherever we go. You ever wonder why there's people that enter into your world and you're like, how did that person even show up in my life? But I love that person. That person, they're so great. Or I've never met that person. Or the person at the gas station. And you just start having this relationship. And then they say, we have a Denny's relationship with this girl on Wednesday nights that we hang out with. She's so cool. And you know what? Eric started casting and broadcasting the seed out to her. And it turned out to be pretty neat. You know what? We'll see where it ends up. We'll see what soil it falls on. But you know what? It's what our job is to do. It's our response, and it's God's ability. You put it together, it's the responsibility of every believer. Now, there's four types of soils that we're going to be studying this week and throughout the weeks to come. And these four soils deals with the attitudes and the hearts of each man and woman, child, everybody, the opportunity to hear God's voice. So dependent upon the type of soil that is going on will determine whether that person will actually hear God's word. And this is a very important that Jesus is actually sharing this 2,000 years ago, and that we're still sharing the same story today. Did you know, let me remind us, that God is still talking to us today? Amen. Every day. We just may not be tuned in. We may also think that it's too miraculous. We may think that it's too miraculous that God could still talk to us. We also may think that it cannot happen to you, that you're too insignificant, that it can't happen. I'm not this person. I'm not this type of person. So there's no way that God can talk to me. Let me tell you something. There's a reason why Jesus went to the prostitute, and there's a reason why Jesus went to the person at the well, and there's a reason why he saw Nicodemus, and there's a reason why he saw each and every single person. He had divine appointments, and he will have the same divine appointment with you too. You are not insignificant. He loves you so much. It's not too miraculous for God. And in this parable, write this down. The farmer represents God. The seed represents his word. And the soil represents my heart and my mind, my attitude of receiving the word of God and of hearing God's word. So there's four things that God says that I must do if I want to hear God's voice. And we're going to talk about just one of them. Number one, I must cultivate an open heart and mind to hear God. I got to be ready and eager. Did you come here this morning ready and eager to worship God? Or did you come here just saying, well, let me just get this off my checklist here? You know, it's been a while. Or I need to do this or do that. God's glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. But did you come ready, open-hearted, where you're open-minded, where you say, I want God to cultivate. I want my heart to be changed. We got to be ready and eager to hear God's words every single day. And when you leave here, you got to be ready and eager to hear God's voice all throughout your other livelihood that you're doing, because He knows what you're doing. It's okay. Keep doing what you're doing, because He put you there. He wants to use you in there, because He's got to use somebody in the military. He's got to use somebody in that business. He's got to use somebody in that doctor's office. He's got to use someone at that mail place. He's got to use somebody in that school. He's got to use somebody on that lake fishing. Will you meet someone? Are we eager and ready? The barrier to hearing God's word is simply just good old unbelief. Being resistant. Let's look at verse 5 again. A farmer went out to plant the seed. Here we go. Here's God. And as he scattered it across his field, as he began to broadcast his seeds, some seed fell on the footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it up. What is he saying? On the farm, there are going to be footpaths. You know where you grow the vegetables, but you don't ever just step all over. You don't like grow the vegetables and then you step all over it, right? That would be kind of weird. That would be something I probably would do, though, okay? I've never been able to grow anything. But I tried one time, but even then, I knew. I built a little thing around it, and what I did was I went around the box. I knew that, because I don't want to step in whatever, and I'm trying to cultivate it. I'm trying to make the soil, and I'm putting the hole in, and I'm watering it. I'm trying to do whatever it needs to do, and I'm blowing on it, whatever. But I know that I should never walk. So back in that day, and still today, they have little footpaths. And guess what's going on? There's a lot of traffic going on as you're broadcasting seeds, right? You keep doing that, and you stay on that same path, walking over and over. And it gets busy, and it gets compacted, and all of a sudden it gets hardened during that place as you're broadcasting out the seeds. A farmer that constantly walks on that soil, that footpath, it just gets hard. That makes sense though, right? Jesus is doing a good job telling this story so far. What does it sound like to us, though? How can we bring 2,000 years to today? We get busy, don't we? Too many things going and coming. Too many things filling our plate. Too much noise that's going on. Too many distractions. There's times when we have to literally just sit down and just, you know, be still and know that He's what? We just got to be still. We just got to stop. Let's not wait till we're already sick. Let's not wait till we're already out of gas and then go, oh, guess I'm walking. I guess I'm hitchhiking. I need someone to help me out. Sometimes we just need to be still and be able to hear that small voice. If you're listening for that audible voice, Troy, say this. Troy, go do this. As your pastor, I've never heard it. If you have, that's awesome. I will never say that you didn't. No, I'm just kidding. I may say, well, what did it sound like? But you may have this earning in your voice and your mind and your heart. And he's like, Troy, you're on the wrong path. Troy, quit stepping all over my seeds. Get off. You need to be going this way. You need to be doing this. I've been guiding you to do the right choice. Don't do that. Because what happens is every time you do that and you're not listening to me and I'm spreading out these seeds and you're walking on this footpath, it's just bouncing off and it's worthless. It's just bouncing off that hardness. Nothing's cultivating. Nothing's going on. So what's happening? I'm so glad Jesus told us, because in verse 12, let's keep in the context of what it's saying. Verse 12 says, the seeds that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. There's going to be times that you're going to broadcast your seeds. There's going to be times that we're going to share the gospel. There's going to be times when things like that are going to happen, and you may even get frustrated and you say, I've been praying and I've been doing and I've been trying. But you have to understand that the birds and Satan is right there, and it may be falling on hard hearts. It's not cultivated, and it's bouncing off all over the place, and the birds and the vultures are waiting right there on the trees to snatch it away. This is why we have to be in constant prayer each and every day for the people, so that their hearts will begin to cultivate. Guys, when I'm praying, when I'm there from 10 to 10:15 in my office, I'm praying that open hearts are here today, every day. I don't want things just to bounce off you and say, oh, well. And I'm talking to believers too, not just unbelievers. We can all become hardened. We can all get to that way in our lives where we think that we've arrived. But we'll notice that there's two descriptors. It's hardened and it's narrow. Do you know anybody like that right now, that they're narrow-minded and hard-headed? That they will never humble themselves in the sight of the Lord? And you pray, and they never become broken. They never become pour in the Spirit for God to be able to work in their life, for fruit to be able to be displayed. The hardened soil represents a closed-minded, closed-hearted person to hear God's news. And three things that is destroying, and I'm going to say is three things are destroying, not just unbelievers, but also believers. The apostasy, the falling away of the church. And in my discipleship, I'm speaking about that in Jude. And also we'll see in Revelation. But you know what? This is several thousand years old, where apostasy, the falling away of the church, becoming stagnant in your relationship. There's stagnant in your connection. You're trying to reach God. It's like my elementary school, elementary football coach that had the headgear, but he was not talking to anyone, because we're just on an open field. And all the football players and then all the parents out there are trying to figure out, who in the world is he talking to? Because there's not anyone upstairs. It's not like it was in a stadium. We're in fifth grade. He was talking to who? Nobody. Himself. And you know how many people are doing that? They're wearing headgear and not talking to anybody. Yet he's trying to act like that these are the plays that should be coming in from upstairs. It's crazy. And that guy was crazy. Pride will keep you from hearing God's word. If you're not moldable or broken before God, I'm not going to hear him speak. You remember Pharaoh? Pretty prideful. You remember Saul? Pretty prideful. Sometimes we're on that road to Damascus and we're so hard-headed that it's going to take not just a voice, it's going to take him to come down and say, what are you doing? Why? Because he's so blinded. He's walking around like a mummy. He's a dead mummy. If you're not in Christ, you are dead, and you are wrapped like a mummy with so much distortion, with so much legalism, with so much science with so much whatever, and you need the Holy Spirit of God and people's prayers to be able to unwrap you so that way you can hear and you can know and you can feel and you can experience the presence of Jesus Christ walking in and you supping with Him. But pride is doing that. King David was dealing with pride as he let things get into the way. And then he cries out in Psalms 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me a willing to obey you. Let me have a willing spirit to follow you." Number two, if I'm fearful, if I begin to talk to God, He's going to end up sending me to Africa. So if I keep a low profile, like I do at school sometimes, we haven't seen you in a while. Have you been here? I've been hiding in my room and in the copy room and in this closet right over here because I know you're going to tell me to do something. Now they know where to find me. God knows where you are at all times. And the video camera is always on. I realize that. And there's plenty of tape. There's plenty of audio tape. God's not going to run out. He's not going to say, "Wait a second, stop your life for a second and fill up the tape." Or, you know, He's not going to do that. It's always running. We should not fear more not talking to God than ever talking to Him. Talk to God. Don't fear Him in terms of what He wants you to do. As I even said last week, even Moses, he had a wonderful assignment. He gave every excuse in the world, maybe the same ones we would give, and then add about 5,000 more. But it is better to talk to God than to try to ignore His calling on your life, because the calling on your life, it's from God. He's like calling you on the phone. "Hey, you want to hang out?" "Nah." "What? You don't want to hang out with me?" "I'm God. I'm the creator of the world. I needed you together in your mother's womb. You remember all that?" "Uh-huh. I'm watching the Cowboy game. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm too busy." Whatever. Y'all with me? You know what I was thinking of when I was writing this? The chorus, "Trust and obey." I'm not going to sing it. "For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but what?" So you know it. If I'm bitter, I'm not going to hear God. Holding on to resentment and grudge and bitterness towards God, then I'm not going to be able to listen to Him. I don't want to listen to Him. Why? Because I hold resentment. I hold a grudge against God. I'm bitter towards God. How did you get there, by the way? How did you get to where you're just not walking and you don't really care what God says in your life? Because even if you're growing in with the Lord, there's times when we don't want to listen to God because we want to do what we want to do. And King David was the same way. I really, really like Bathsheba. She's looking good over there. And this guy, her husband, is in the way. So I'm going to kill him. I know you're telling me, don't you do it. Shh, be quiet, God. Trust and obey, for there's no other way but to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. The pain in our life, the death of loved ones, divorce, illnesses, things that are not going a part of your plan, you get mad. We can sometimes get mad at God. And you know what? Go to God with your problems. Go with God and say, "I'm really struggling with this, God. I don't know why this has happened to me. I know that you put Job through this. I know that you put this person through this. And I've watched them and they've done a great job getting over this. But now it's personal. I didn't think it was going to happen to me. And I don't want to deal with this, God, and I'm really, really mad right now at you that you allowed this to happen. I never got to hang out with my dad. I never got to hang out with my mom. You seem like I'm always getting sick. You seem like you're always doing this. You're always doing this. Why am I going through this? I'm mad at you, God." I don't understand what you're trying to do in my life. And so the pain that we feel, we begin to build up this bitterness. We become a cynic to God. We become a gossip. We become blasphemous against God. We become cold. We become defensive to the one who loves us the most. Forgiveness is the most liberating door you will ever walk through to hear God in your life. Walk through the door of forgiveness and let him change your life. If he's willing to forgive you, let's get real before God and let's forgive him. Not that he needs it, but let's just get real and say, I'm struggling with this. But God, I know you love me. Walk through that door. If he walked through this door, he would sit next to you and say, well, here's why. I want you to know why this happened in your life. Or when you get to heaven, well, this was the big picture. This is why I had plans and to prosper you and things for you. And I know this hurts. I know this was painful. But you know what? You drew so close to me because of that pain. Yeah, but you didn't have to take my kid. Yeah, but you didn't have to do this. We could have figured out another way. There is no other way. This is how I had to do it. See, for he's God and we're not. Taking James' advice, and I'm about to close here. Get rid of all the filth and evil. James 1:21, get rid of all the filth and evil in our lives. We don't hear it because we could be filled with filth and evil and our own selfish desires. And even King David, a man after his own heart, was the same way at times. He said, I'm going to go astray. I'm going to go my own way because this is so awesome. This will be the best 30 minutes. This will be the best 4 weeks of my life. I'm going to go astray. And I know he's going to come back and get me anyway because I'm going to be going like this on my back. And like a sheep that have gone astray, he will come after you. And he will be the prodigal father that will have his doors open. And he will have his arms open. And he will welcome you in. And then he may say, hey, don't do that again, prostitute. Hey, don't do that again, person that keeps falling away. I love you, but I'm also a holy, just God. Don't forget that. Oh, I just want the loving part. Well, you got to take all of them. We don't get to pick and choose what we want of God. He's not a buffet. Okay. Oh, that looks good. Oh, that smells good. Ooh, everybody keeps going after that one. You have any extra? A little tartar sauce? God says, you know, there's vegetables over here too. And there's dessert. I'm thinking about furs right now. Amen. As I close here, we got to humbly what? Accept God. We got to cultivate an open heart with God. That's how he's going to speak to us. We must believe that God truly cares about our whole entire life, not just the other parts, not just this churchy part. You're doing really good right now, by the way. This will be the best 2 hours or best hour of your life right now. I don't think anybody's sinning, as far as I know. Possibly. I don't know. This is going to be really good. It's when we go out there, I want you to understand the world is coming at you, but I also want you to understand that we must believe that God truly cares about all of our life. In Matthew 10:30, he said, God knows even the hairs of your head. He knows you personally, and he even knows the true color of your hair. God is love. God is love. He's the creator of love. He's the creator of love. We were created to love him and for him to love us back. You remember that relationship part I was talking about? It's not based on what you do, but it's based on who he is. It's not based on your conduct, on how you live your life, good or bad. It's based on his character. It's not based on your works, because your works are like filthy rags, he says. You can't be good enough. Okay, then I'm not going to try. He has something to say about that, but we don't have that time. But it's on his will. It's not based on your works, but it's based on his will. It's based on the cross of Jesus Christ in your life that you accept him as your Lord and Savior. You cannot make God stop loving you. There is not enough sin in your life that can make God stop loving you any less. Try. No, just don't. Don't try. The greatest gift that you can ever understand is knowing that he gives you full of attention. You can pick up the phone, you can pray, you can open up his word, and you can spend as much time as you want. When I do marriage retreats, there's a book that came out that deals with the best, having the best marriage. The best is yet to come. And you don't have to look at your other people and say, wow, man, they got the best marriage in the world. I wish I could do that. Well, do it. No one says you can't have a good relationship and a good marriage. I wish I could be a good employee like that. I wish I could be a good Christian. I wish I could do that. I wish I could play the piano. No, you're never going to be able to play the piano. You always need to understand that God has got you. He's got your full attention now. I think right now, do you have his full of attention right as well when you leave out, if you want to be able to hear God? Giving attention is the greatest gift you can ever give someone. Why? Because it says, I value you. And God Almighty values you. He values you. He values you. What are you needing to talk to God about today? What does he need to talk to you about today? Let's pray. Father, for us to be able to hear your voice, I pray that each one of us will come humbly before you, each and every day. I thank you, God, so much that you can't stop loving us. In our worst sin, in our worst situation that we may be feeling, even if we're feeling prideful, even if we're feeling fear, even if we feel in a way that we have gone our own ways, I pray that, Father, that you will go find us, that you will bring us back, that we will never be the type of believers or even unbelievers that would ever have a hard heart. I pray that this message of the Word of God, not Troy's words, but your Word, speaks truth and love, and that you're the one that cultivates, that you're the one that will water, that you're the one, as you broadcast your seed today, as you broadcast your seed through each and every one of us here today, when we go out to our workplaces, when we go out to our schools, yes, teenagers, yes, kids, God's in the business of using you right now, right where you are. I pray that each one of us would take on that response, and it's your ability through the Holy Spirit to do miraculous things. The problem is today, there are only so many people that are out in the fields broadcasting. Not this church. Not these people. God, use us all. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.